SBC Media.
Welcome to iGaming Daily, analysing the news from the betting and gaming industry all over the globe. Supported by SBC Summit Barcelona, the industry-leading conference bringing you the future of sports betting and iGaming.
SBC Summit Barcelona is where you can experience the global industry coverage under one roof. Expect an industry-leading conference agenda covering all verticals across seven stages, a huge trade show floor filled with over 3,000 exhibitors, and luxury networking events at premium venues in one of Europe's coolest cities. Join 10,000 executives this September at the event drawing the industry's eyes. Get your tickets now at sbcevents.com.
Welcome to the latest episode of iGaming Daily. We've moved on from Casino Beach Summit and are turning our focus to Latin America, that has experienced quite a few match-fixing issues when it comes to football, or soccer if you're in the US. We've briefly touched upon it in previous episodes when focusing on Brazil, but following an incident with a second division Colombian team, we thought it would be the right time and opportunity to dive into this a little more. I'm James Ross, your host, and before we do jump into the topic at hand, I would love our guests just to introduce themselves so the listener knows who's who. So, Lucia?
Yes, hi, I'm Lucia Mourinho, head of B2B Media Latam.
I am Isadora Marcanchi, a sports business journalist.
Perfect. Welcome to you both. I love having this show because I'd love hearing all things Latin America. But Isadora, I'm going to come to you first. Can you just provide us a bit of an update on the match-fixing situations?
So, yes. Well, after the maximum penalty operation led by the public minister of Goiás, now we have a CPI to investigate some of those cases. So what is a CPI for those who don't know what it is? It's especially like it's a bit confusing even for us Brazilians. But a CPI stands for a Parliamentary Commission of Inquiry. So it's an organ of the legislative power that it can be instituted permanently or not, with powers of investigation similar to those of the judicial department to investigate for a certain period facts linked to irregularities, illegalities, or mismanagement of public affairs by its administrators. So they can forward their findings to the public prosecutor's office for the civil or criminal liability of the offenders to be placed. So that's basically it. They're going to investigate, in this case, the match-fixing scandals that we have been getting to know in the past months that they're happening in the Brazilian championship. But it's important to mention that the CPI is created by the act of the president upon request of at least one third of the parliamentarians, in this case, 32 in Brazil. And it's temporary. A CPI is specifically temporary, and they don't have the power to judge or punish anyone. It's done simply to investigate facts and then to, of course, show what they found to the authorities.
Let me add a few things. The formal document of the CPI says that there were 130 matches involved in this scandal. Like, we knew it was bad, but I just wasn't expecting the number to be that high. And also earlier this week, the authorities involved in the CPI approved a work plan, which they did, obviously. And the beginning of the document says that there's three main guidelines. The first one says that some of these situations happen in amateur competition, so they will be excluded from the CPI's investigation. Now, that doesn't mean that there will be recommendations around it, but it's not part of this CPI. The second one is also related to the limits that the CPI has and actually says that female competitions will also be included since, and I quote, the issue is not limited to men's professional football competitions and that women's professional football is also affected. And the third guideline says that even though this whole thing started with an investigation from the public ministry of Goiás, like Isadora mentioned, the CPI will do its own thing and it will reach all people involved in this scheme, basically, and all the people that could be identified in the future. So if they're not mentioned in previous investigations, that doesn't mean that they won't be in the future. Now, there's something important at the beginning of the text as well, as it quotes a resolution that said that the lack of regulation in the sector still leaves gaps that allow criminals acting in bad faith to manipulate sport results. And with this particular sentence, it's clear as day, without regulations in place, you're putting everyone and everything at risk. So the main goal is, one, provide a comprehensive report with the results of the investigation, and two, to draft a proposal needed to change the sports betting regulatory framework, basically.
Mm-hmm. So does this change the expectations around the sports betting market? And does this CPI have the power to change the offering?
I think the short answer is yes, it does. Mm-hmm. Because one of the topics that will be discussed is banning bets on individual players, meaning that if this gets approved, people won't be able to bet on, I don't know, yellow cards, red cards, corner kicks, penalties, everything that involves just one player.
Yeah.
I don't know if it changes the expectations, but I think it leaves the door open to illegal activity. I mean, even if we're not talking about gambling or betting in general, it is a fact that when you regulate, you have more tools to fight match fixing, to protect the players, and basically the interest of both the government and operators. And banning things will only make things worse, because if they're happening without a regulation, they will still happen with one. And I think it also changes the timeline, because the deadline set for the CPI is 120 days. And if we take into account the break of the National Congress in July, the deadline was set for September 28th. And that's just too much. Like, it needs to happen sooner.
It can be extended for another 60 days as well. So like 2 months on top of the already 120 days that we have for the CPI to finish. But, okay, we know that this type of bets, like corners, yellow, red cards, penalties, all bets that depends on one player to happen, make the life of the criminals easy, of course, because you need to only contact one player to have your bet successful. And especially those type of bets have like higher odds too. So the payment, the payout to the players is much higher than like win or lose. But I don't believe that this is the solution for the problem, at least not in the long run. I think if this suggestion is accepted and these types of bets are prohibited, at some point, we can say hello to VPNs and offshore companies for sure. Like, players won't stop betting on those markets. They will just find another place to do them.
One more thing. It's kind of related, but not strictly related to this, but the Brazilian Institute of Responsible Gaming shared a press release this week, and it basically said that it was a concern about how much time it's taking to get this regulation in place, and basically called out the government for presenting restrictive measures around the industry. And they said, like, yes, everyone is interested in Brazil, but there's a limit. And if you keep bending that line, it's going to break at some point. They said that the license prices are too high, that the tax regime is too strict, and that the conditions around the market are too restrictive, which basically will push away all the international companies that want to invest in the country. So yeah, it's not just a thing that the CPI will delay sports betting, like regulated sports betting in Brazil. There's also these press releases from associations like the one that I just mentioned saying you need to be careful because, I mean, we've been waiting for a long time and it's not like they will wait forever for this market to happen. Like, you need to do things now and you need to act as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm. And I mentioned it in my intro about the second division Colombian team.
Yes.
We've seen news this week about the match fixing in South America. I know the head coach of the team came out and admitted that his own team had actually been involved in suspicious activity. Lou, can you just explain what's actually been going on there?
Yeah, so there's a team in the second division of Colombian football. It's called Boca Juniors Cali. Please don't confuse that with the Boca Juniors from Argentina. But It recently lost a game at the very last minute against Deportes Quindío, and at the press conference right after the game finished, the head coach Alejandro Guerrero Narváez said that it's obvious that some players from his own team have been involved in match fixing in the last few years. And he even said that this has been happening since 2018.
Wow.
Yeah. I've never heard something like this. And he actually said that the team received a letter from Dimayor, which is the entity in charge of the football leagues in Colombia. And this letter was also signed by the Colombian Football Association, saying what the head coach had communicated to the press, that there's been players involved in this. And as a result, Dimayor suspended the head coach for 5 weeks and also ruled that he needs to pay 12.5 million pesos, pretty much for mentioning that there's an ongoing investigation about these allegations. And again, wow. I've never heard something like this. It's pretty unusual.
So.
Yes.
So we bring this in because obviously Brazil has experienced quite a few match fixing allegations or confirmations, or we say, if there's been any. What are the similarities between them both match fixing cases in Brazil and this new report from Colombia?
Well, I think there are some similarities, but it's obviously not the same because this hasn't happened in Brazil. Like, the league hasn't sanctioned anything against head coaches or anything. But if there's been match fixing issues since 2018, at least someone knew about it and should have come forward. So in that sense, I think it's similar to Brazil, meaning that all these match-fixing cases didn't happen overnight, and they're not the result of the country discussing sports betting regulation. It's just the result of people talking about it because it benefits an agenda. Now, whatever that agenda is, it's not really important right now. Now, the biggest difference is that Brazil is taking care of these things. The regulation is actually delayed because of this, among other things, but it's mainly because they need to discuss how match-fixing is going to get treated. And in Colombia's case, there's a right to keep things private, especially when an investigation is underway. But in this case, you can actually see in the resolution that Dimayor pretty much said that the head coach blamed his team's last-minute loss against Deportes Quindío on match-fixing, hinting that he was basically exaggerating or making things up. And again, we're talking about a sports entity saying the coach was frustrated with his team, so he's blaming this on match fixing. And again, this is interesting to me because it's the first time that I see someone reporting match fixing issues and getting dismissed. Like, at worst, you get a press release saying, yeah, we heard about the allegations and we're going to investigate. I've never seen a league saying, we dealt with something in the past and this person is trying to confuse the public. It's just a really strange situation.
It's weird because from within Latin America, Colombia has been mentioned as a role model because of its kind of comprehensive market and its flexible regulations. Do you think now with this max fixing allegations, will that change how the market is being perceived?
So Dimayor said that there are investigations underway in the resolution, and one of the reasons why Guerrero Narváez got a fine and got suspended is because he made that public. So if they end up releasing the results of the investigation and they penalize whoever is involved, I think it will be all right, even if this whole situation is more than ridiculous. But for operators, providers, players, I don't think it will change much because Coljuegos, Fecoljuegos, and other industry bodies are still one of the best in the industry. The communications between them is great. And these entities are always trying to be involved and push things forward. So in the great scheme of things, no. I don't think it would change how people perceive the market. Just as Brazil, like, operators are still interested, even though there's a whole scandal around match fixing. But I also hope that monitoring is actually working and there's no other cases that will come to the light in the near future. If that happens, though, I'd like to see a different response and approach from Dimayor and maybe also something from Coljuegos, because again, like you said, Colombia is always seen as the leading country in Latin America. And it would be a shame for this to kind of ruin that image. I don't think it would ruin the image of Colombia being so important in the region, because again, they've regulated pretty much all the different verticals and segments within the industry, and it's still the most serious market right now in Latin America. So this much fixing scandal, and I don't know if can be perceived as scandal, but allegations in Colombia in the second division, I mean, they could open the door to more issues in the future, because it's hard to believe that there's only one situation happening, especially if it's been happening since 2018. But I don't think it would ruin Colombia's image, like, overall. I don't think that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go back to something you said just before we round off this podcast. You said you'd like to see the regulators in Colombia take a different approach. What approach would you like them to see?
Well, I mean, first of all, I would like for them to say something, because I think it's completely unrelated, but a few days after this thing exploded in Colombia, they shared some stuff on social media saying, don't forget that these are the only operators authorized to offer services in Colombia. And that's great. I think that's something that all the regulators in LATAM should be doing, telling people, just pay attention. I know that there's a lot of promo around, but these are the only companies that we can supervise and offer help if you need some issues. But I haven't seen anything said about this match fixing scandal, because when there's match fixing, there's suspicious betting. And I think that's someplace that the regulator should be involved with. And I haven't seen that. I checked the website, and again, Coljuegos is a great entity, but I think Coljuegos and all of the regulators in LATAM should be updating their websites so people can access the information a little bit easier and find it if they say something about a topic. I haven't seen anything about it. And in the future, if this happens again, and I hope not, then it would be great if they said something, even like, We are open to offering all our help to Dimashor, to the Colombian FA. Like, if you need anything, we're available. I would like to see that.
Perfect. And rest assured to our listeners that even though they do not keep their websites updated regularly, the Colombian regulators, SPC Noticias and SPC Noticias Brazil, definitely keep their websites updated frequently. And any new updates on both the Colombian match fixing story and what's happening in Brazil, once they break, Lou, Fernando Nut, who's the business journalist for SPC Noticias, and Isadora will be covering it straight away. It will be up on the website within hours, if that. For all the topics that we discussed today, I will put a link to the stories in the description of this podcast so you can browse them at your leisure and find out more details. But for today, Lucia, Isadora, thank you for joining me. And to our listeners, thank you and goodbye.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of iGaming Daily, brought to you in conjunction with SBC Summit Barcelona, being held at the Fira Barcelona Montjuïc on the 19th to the 21st of September. If you want to find out more about some of the subjects raised today, feel free to explore any of the sites in the SBC News Network or check out the latest edition of the SBC Leaders magazine. Happy reading.